on being here early. Welcome also to members of the public. I begin by acknowledging we're on the traditional lands of the Kaurna people. We pay our respects to Kaurna elders past and present. I let everyone know that the audio of the council meeting is recorded and is made available on the City of Marion website once the minutes have been checked, leaving aside any confidential matters, of course. Now, I ask elected members if they foresee any potential conflict of interest in the business of the agenda. I know I've got one where I have to step out of the room when we're talking about benefits, etc. But other than that, I'll just keep going. Would someone like to, I suppose one of the continuing councillors, would you like to move confirmation of the minutes of the council meeting of 25th October? Moved, Councillor Telfer, seconded, Councillor Masika. All those in favour, raise your hand. It's carried unanimously. Thank you. And now, there is, I'm advised, there's an opportunity for elected member verbal communication reports. So if anyone wants to, they can spend a brief amount of time highlighting anything from their community that needs to be brought to our attention. Councillor Valescu.
Just in the recent weather, there was an issue in Mitchell Street, Glengowrie, and one of the residents happened to have Matt Allen's phone number and rang him on the Saturday. And within a very short time, Roger Belding came along and looked at the issue. They put up a temporary fence, which was very fortunate because people were going in and taking photos of the damage because they saw it online. So the resident was just really happy, and the other residents in the area that, you know, council reacted so quickly. And I'm sure that's not the only story, but I really think that needs to be put out there, and that they went beyond the call of duty to help our community, especially at quite a difficult time. And that tree, if it had fallen on any other sort of angle, it would have got a house. So it was just fortunate that it didn't fall on anyone's house and fell just right at the end of the cul-de-sac. So it's a good work.
Anyone else with a verbal report? Councillor Telfer.
I'd just like elected members to know that Cosgrove Hall's having a changing of the guard. Councillor Mr. Tilbrook, Chris Tilbrook, after about 12 years of involvements, resigned, and there's nobody stepped up. And the new deputy said that if people stepped up, they needed to do the job properly. So half the committee resigned. So there is talk of council even taking over Cosgrove Hall. So I just want you to know that that's all in the mixing pot at the moment.
Any others? Then would someone like to move that we note those verbal reports and the written communication reports in the agenda? Moved, Councillor Masika, seconded, Councillor Taylor. All those in favour, raise your hand. Thank you. That's carried unanimously. Now, the confirmation of the minutes of the Review and Selection Committee on page 23 of your agenda. Let's just deal with that separately for the moment. Someone like to, it's a bit difficult because I'm the only person who was actually there, but moved, Councillor Pryor, that we were second, Councillor Crossland. It's there for you to read. All those in favour, raise your hand. Thank you. That's carried unanimously. And now, just checking with staff, there are just the two brief confidential items. Well, given that we have some members of the public in the audience whom we normally send out at this point if we have to go to consider confidential matters, but because they're relatively uncontentious, I'm going to suggest that we move those to the end of the meeting. but that's if no one objects. And what I say is, do I have leave of the meeting, in other words, permission of the meeting to just move that item and deal with it at the end? But if anyone objects, they can say so. Okay, no one objects. So I have leave of the meeting to move 11.1 and 11.2 to the end of the meeting. And that brings us now to corporate reports for decision. Perhaps we'll take them one by one because I'm not sure what councillors want to say about them, but results of the elections, it's really just to note the report, unless anyone has anything to add. Who would like to move accordingly? Councillor Masika moves as printed. Seconded Councillor Pryor. Any further comment? Then I'll simply put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And congratulations to all successful, and well done to all those who had a go as well. On page 35, we've got the time and place of council meetings for 2023. Now, I did just have one query there in relation to the timing of committee meetings. So is that clause 5? Where it just seemed to me that we might want to see, I'm just asking for some advice from staff there. It's clause 4. So I'm looking on page 35 and the dates of council and committee meetings seem to be straightforward. But I just thought that once we have allocated councillors to committees, even if it's on a particular night, those councillors might want to start at 6 p.m. or at 7 p.m. or something or other. So I'm inviting you to move that recommendation without the clause 4. Sorry, clause 5. Yeah, hang on, I'm getting a bit confused here. I'm not sure if it's changed from the draft or not. Attachment 1, Appendix 1. I'm getting mixed up between Attachment 1 and Appendix 1. Can someone just help me out there? I can only see one document.
So through the chair, clause 4 says adopts the meeting schedule dates for 2003 as provided in appendix 1 to the report. Appendix 1 has lists the date, the time, and the type of meeting.
So when in clause 5 it talks about dates for council member forums in attachment 1, that's the same Appendix 1, in fact, is it?
Correct.
Okay, there is just the one document. Sorry, that's just got slightly confused with that. So it's with the... If we leave out clause 4, clauses 1, 2, and 3 actually fix the dates for the general council meetings and the committee meetings. So the only thing that clause 4 adds is the times, but we can revisit that later in the meeting potentially.
General council needs a set time, yeah.
I'm advised by governance that the general council meetings need a set time. Could we then add to clause 4 subject to committee meeting times being confirmed publicly at a later time? So if that makes sense to councillors, I hope you're sort of following that banter from the chair, just to make sure we don't dig ourselves into a hole and then have to dig ourselves out of it. So that was moved as printed with that addition. Councillor Pryor, seconded Councillor Telfer. Any discussion on that? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So at least members of the public know the dates for all of those meetings. They know the times for forums and general council meetings, and we can publicise the committee times subsequently. On to page 40, we've got City of Marion Christmas trading hours. We would like to initiate Councillor Masika. You're moving the recommendation as printed.
Yes, Your Worship, I'd like to move the motion as printed on at the board.
Very well, Councillor Telfer, seconded without further comment. Any objections or questions? If not, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? No, that is carried unanimously. Good. Now, on page 42, a person to act in... to act in place of the Chief Executive. The Mayor on this one has actually suggested some alternative wording because I was concerned about the ambiguity of the what you can see there is clause one on the screen. It doesn't actually make it clear that one of the general managers is appointed, and the whole point of this is clarity so that we know that at any one time there is an acting CEO. Of course, if this is the case where there is an expected absence of the Chief Executive, if there isn't, and if there hasn't been anyone pre-appointed, so to speak, then the Mayor and or members of the council appoint someone if something happens unexpectedly. But in the expected case, and generally speaking, the Chief Executive Officer's extremely good in letting us know if he's not going to be around for any time. So, look, up to you, councillors. You move whichever one you prefer. Councillor Bilescu?
I'm happy to move the alternate wording.
Right, as printed on the screen. Thank you. Is that seconded? Councillor Telfer, any further comment? Then all those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. We're going very well on the consensus model tonight. That's good. Now, one more technicality here. When we discuss the council members' allowance and benefits policy, there is a rule for councillors, and there, by legislation, there is a different treatment of the mayor. So when we deal with councillors' benefits, that is something that all of you can take part in. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a meeting. But when it comes to the mayor's allowances, etc., the mayor would have to leave the meeting because it can be perceived as a particular benefit for one person. So my suggestion to you is simply to move 12.5 to after 12.11, which is the appointment of deputy mayor. And that means when the mayor has to leave the room because of the conflict of interest provisions, there will be a deputy mayor to take the chair. So if no one objects, we'll just push that a little further down the agenda. Okay, no objection. So I have leave of the meeting to move that to be dealt with after appointment of the deputy mayor. So that leaves us with the committee terms of references. And I think this is one which we could take on block. So items 12.6 to 12.10, starting at page 55. Everyone's had a chance to look at terms of reference. Councillor Pryor, your...
Yeah, I'd just like to move them on block, thank you.
Moving them on block as they are, thank you. That's seconded by Councillor Masika. Any further discussion? No, then I'll put the motion, all those in favour, the motions, all those in favour, raise your hand. Lovely, that's unanimous, thank you. So we come straight up to Deputy Mayor. So we are at 12.11, page 82. So I'll ask, without undue formality, just to ask for any expression of interest from any member. Councillor Telfer, any others? Because if there are no others, then the motion we could entertain would be for Councillor Telfer to be Deputy Mayor. My paraphrasing, yeah, there we are on the screen, from 29 November to 30th November 2023. If someone is prepared to move that motion, I'll invite Councillor Telfer to leave the room for a moment due to our conflict of interest provisions. So it's all right, we can go ahead and move the motion. Councillor Crossland, Councillor Pryor, seconded. If there's no discussion, all those in favour, raise your hand. That is carried unanimously, and someone can please invite Councillor Telfer to come back in. However, we are doing things properly. Thank you. The Council Members' Allowance and Benefits Policy. I might ask Councillor Telfer to come in for this whole item. That's probably going to be easier. So it is on page 44 of your agenda. Councillor Telfer, would you like to take the chair? So the Mayor's leaving the room because of, I suppose, perceived or material interest in relation to allowances being specified, etc., for the Mayor. So, Councillor Telfer, if you'd like to come up and deal with that one. Thank you.
Item 12.5. Do I have a mover for item 12.5? Moved Councillor Crossland, seconded Councillor Masika. Are there any other comments? Any other?
Add into those? Is that just if we want to add something extra?
They are there if people have extra things. Are there any extra things?
Move no. That's printed then, thank you.
So we noted Councillor Crossland, Councillor Masika. All in favour? That's carried. Thank you very much. And we'll let the Mayor return.
So thanks very much, everyone. So now we proceed to allocate councillors to committees and positions. So I propose to start with the chair of committee positions. And there is something slightly arbitrary about this, but I'll just go through it in order. I'm suggesting that we do it in the following order. In fact, perhaps I could have someone move a suspension of standing orders. That would be so we have flexibility in discussion. Councillor Crossland, thank you. Seconded Councillor Masika. All those in favour? That's carried. That's carried unanimously. And what that means is we're just not bound by the rules of debate, so we can actually have flexibility to get this job done. And it is something that I often encourage if there are multiple moving parts to a motion. So what we can do through discussion and voting, if necessary, is to fill in the blanks on the page about who's going to be where, and then we can move the whole lot as one motion once we've clarified who's going where. That makes it's going to be the quickest way to do it. And I mean, we've all got goodwill and respect here, so it makes sense to do it efficiently like that. So if I look at the chair positions first, I'm going to suggest that we do environment, infrastructure, planning, and then review and selection. I beg your pardon. I've just been reminded that I chair the Review and Selection Committee. So that leaves three. Let's do those three, see how we go. So do I have any nominations or anyone interested for the chair of the Environment Committee? Got Councillor Bilescu. Any others? No. So we can pencil in Councillor Bilescu's name there. Now, the Infrastructure Committee, do I have interest as chair? Councillor Crossland? Any others? Then that's good. Councillor Crossland, we can pencil in to chair the Infrastructure Committee. Planning and Development, any interest as Chair? Councillor Pryor, any others? Yes. Councillor Lama. So we have an election. So in relation to the, this is not membership, this is for the Chair's position. Oh, so did you, I'm just checking, Councillor Lama, did you mean membership or Chair in relation? Oh, okay. So, no, that's all right. We'll come to that as a next step. So that just leaves Councillor Pryor at the moment with an interest. Any others for chairing that committee? Once again, I remind everyone that these will be open again in a year's time. I don't see any other nominations, so we'll put Nathan's, I beg your pardon, Councillor Pryor's name next to that one. Now, that starts to fill up our committees. I'm proposing to go through that committee membership before we talk about anything else. So let's take it in the same order. And just to make it clear, the Mayor, if we talk about the Environment Committee, the Mayor's a member ex officio. We've got Councillor Valeska was chair, and there'll be three other councillors who therefore can fit onto that committee. So just put up your hand if you have an interest. I've got Councillor Masika, Councillor Luscombe. Any others? Environment. So I've got two at the moment. So definitely we can see, that's all right. We're working this out. We can come back to it. But for environment, we've got Councillor Masika, we've got Councillor Luscombe. Let's go on to infrastructure. Who has an interest in being on that committee? So I've got Councillor Taylor, Councillor Mates. Okay, so I've got two there. So again, both infrastructure and environment, we have room for one more on each of those. Let's go to planning and development. So that's one where we have Mayor, Chair, and one other councillor. Councillor Lama's expressed interest. Any others? Then, sorry, Councillor, I've got, well, we're normally only taking one committee position. So Councillor Taylor, you've expressed interest in infrastructure, right? Now, Councillor Singh, you've expressed interest in planning as well, have you? Okay. So if both Councillor Lama and Councillor Singh want to go for that, then unless either of you want to withdraw, that's fine. We'll have an election. So what we do now is have a look at these purple tickets on your desk.
So it's
Mayor plus two, one of which is presiding.
That's two members.
Yes, correct. One of which is presiding.
Yeah, so we have the presiding, we're now checking one more. All right. So I've just be mindful of the heading at the top. It was the second one in my pile. Said Environment Committee member. All right. So what we are going to put, just put one name at number one, the person, sorry, planning and development. I have got the wrong one, haven't I? Fortunately, the good staff are here to help me. Planning and development committee member. There we are. Planning and development committee member. We've got Councillor Singh is pulling back. That leaves us with Councillor Lama. So we'll put her name next to that one. Now, I know I was starting to get overexcited, actually. So now we look to the review and selection committee. The mayor chairs that ex officio, and therefore there are two councillor positions, who has interest? Got Councillor Naismith, Councillor Telfer, Councillor Hoffman. Any others? All right, so maybe we'll get our chance to have a vote on this one, but if unless anybody has any alternatives in mind, we'll go ahead. So what we'll do, we need you to please put two names. Are we doing preferential? Actually, it's a preferential ballot. That is the custom and practice of the council. So you must put them, please, one and two in the order in which you think they should be elected, just like your council elections that you've just been through. And make sure, I'm still looking for mine, review and selection committee. Just put in two names in the order in which you think they should be elected. So it's Naismith, Telfer and Hoffman are the three possibilities. I've probably told you a bit late, but you are allowed to vote for yourself. Thank you, Mr. Harrison, for assisting. So that could take a little while to count. Perhaps while we're doing that, could I ask for interest in the Finance and Audit Committee? So here we appoint one or two councillors dealing with financial or interrogating the finances and risk profile of the council, working with three expert independent members of that committee. It's probably fair to say, a fair bit of reading. The timing of the committee meetings will be worked out by the committee members once they're all appointed, but it has been a Tuesday afternoon,
2 to 5.
And that's how many times a year? Four times a year.
3 hours.
Right. Look, I have names, before we go on to that, I have names for the review and selection. Sorry, that's what we were doing, isn't it?
Yep.
And they being councillors Naismith and Hoffman. So, as I was saying, with the Finance, Risk and Audit Committee, we could have a minimum of one, but preferably two councillors. I've got any takers? Councillor Masika? For Finance, Risk and Audit? For review and selection? So it's the mayor plus the two names that I mentioned. Yeah, mayor plus two councillors. Yes. So I think we're okay. So last call. Anyone? Finance, Risk and Audit. Can always come back to it.
Spend 3 hours with me.
Yeah. Don't mention that. Very well. We'll come back to it. Sorry, Councillor Valescu. Thank you, champion. Well, let's just settle for one the time being. And now, perhaps if I jump down to the council assessment panel. So the council assessment panel, working with four experienced planning professionals, deciding on the most borderline, I suppose, of planning applications. We get about 15,000 a year, of which maybe 1% go to the assessment panel. A lot of guidance will be provided, but of course there is a certain amount of reading to do. The meeting about twice a month, I think, Wednesday nights at the moment. Then usually not long meetings, I would say often 1 to 2 hours, if that. However, there is quite a bit of reading, one could say, but then there always is. So, council assessment panel. Councillor Pryor, another champion. Thank you for doing that. And it's great that we have an experienced councillor going onto that committee. Now, there is scope for a deputy member. Now, that could be a good way in, possibly for one of the incoming councillors, potentially, to go to be deputy, because it would be just the rare meeting you'd have to attend, or whenever you can't persuade Councillor Pryor to attend.
I'll be completely
interested. Councillor Taylor has just beaten Councillor Crossland to it. So Councillor Crossland quickly withdrew. I noticed that. So for deputy member on the cap, as we call it, Councillor Taylor. Now, just one more to deal with, the Reconciliation Action Plan Working Group. Now, I'm just checking with governance. Is there actually a limit? We usually have one or two.
No, there's no but limit, if there's, but it's usually just a couple.
Yeah, and I think this is one that meets informally, depends on the amount of work at different times. I've got Councillor Telfer, Councillor Masika and Councillor Luscombe. There's no problem really with all three being on that group, so that's great. And as I say, irregular meetings, but I think Ms. Batt, who works in that sort of policy area, runs that working group, and I'm sure you find it most interesting. So I'm just checking with governance. I think we might have all the names for a full house.
I think we have.
Excellent. So well done, Councillor Crossland, later. Okay. Well, thank you for that. And I do like elections. That's why I've been through so many of them, I suppose. Not always successfully. But we got to have our election.
I was unsuccessful, so I need to offer for another committee.
Oh, I beg your pardon. We haven't actually finished. Councillor Telfer, thank you, because we actually had a spot left in environment and infrastructure.
Yes, environment.
Environment for Councillor Telfer. Was there even another spot?
E&D, then we just got rid of it.
No, that's okay though, because there's chair, councillor, and mayor. So, Councillor Singh.
Infrastructure.
Can we? There's a gap in infrastructure. Excellent. I think you just got an unanimous, you got a lot of support there, Councillor Singh. So that's great. Infrastructure. And I'm still checking, because maybe I haven't written down all of the names while I've been chairing. Have infrastructure and environment got all of the people you need? I see. Yes. Oh, there they are. And just checking environment. Just bear with us, folks, as I'm reading what's on the screen. Make sure that's all okay. Should there not be another one for environment? She's on infrastructure. But don't we need... Oh, sorry, that's right, the presiding plus three. That's what we're looking for. We don't have too many for infrastructure, have we? I'm just checking.
No.
Taylor, Mates, Singh, and presiding. Yep, thank you. Oh, that's right. So... my apologies for the slight delay there, but I just wanted to get my own notes matching as well. We then have a complete motion with everyone in their places. So, Councillor,
just a point of order, the presiding members need to step out, so we need to break it up.
Well, we could take three presiding members out and still have quorum, just saying. So, under the conflict of interest provisions, sorry,
I'd like to declare a conflict of interest for the presiding member position.
Yes, I'm taking it as read. Governance has noted material conflict of interest in respect of those positions for each of those three councillors as they leave the room. So would someone like to move accordingly? Councillor Masika, moving yes. Seconded Councillor Telfer. Any discussion? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So we can invite those three councillors back in and turn our attention to page 88, Council Representatives to SWARA, which is a badly pronounced acronym for our Waste Authority. Now, I just inform councillors that it has been the practice to appoint one elected member, councillor, and one staff member. I'll just see if there is a recommendation from staff as to a staff member. Okay, Ms. Allison, our fairly new corporate services manager, general manager. For those just coming back into the room, I was just talking about the Waste Recycling Authority and the councillor position there. Does someone have an interest in sitting on that board? Yes, Councillor Valescu, question?
2-year terms. That way it gives a bit more opportunity to have succession planning into the next year, and also gives other people opportunity. And finally, it's not as daunting if some people wanted to take it up but saw 4 years is too much.
It's a very good question. I'll let Ms. McKenzie answer that.
Through the chair, the SWARA charter actually requires it to be a 4-year term, so unfortunately we can't appoint for 2 and 2.
In theory, somebody could leave part of the way through, but it is an election for a 4-year term.
Yes, or you could lobby to have the charter changed if you were part of it. So,
got enough.
Sir Crossland.
Look, I'm not going to volunteer to do another 4 after I've just done 8, but I will slot into the deputy position if no one's willing to do any of the spots and help out, just to get that transfer of knowledge, basically.
Very good. Now it's a monthly meeting, I think, Councillor Crossland, that you've been attending, and it's a board a bit like a council in itself. It has a lot of very active projects, amazing, good projects in recycling.
Look, I definitely sell it to somebody as something great to be on. It's probably one of the best environmental projects, even though it is talking about waste. But I'm not going to lie, there's a fair amount on that agenda every month.
Any takers before we move on? So it looks like we have a motion for Councillor Crossland to fill the deputy member spot. We may need to slightly amend the wording that staff had prepared.
We can have 2 staff members.
Well, yes, of course, that's the other way out of it. Ms. McKenzie's just reminding me. We can have 2 staff members. That's not a problem. Would you be ready to nominate someone tonight? Then would be the question. yeah, what about someone with a bit of spare time? Or should we defer this to the next meeting?
Yeah, we don't know if we do it. Yeah.
Very well. Because it's only fair to have some discussions between meetings.
That's exactly what I was going to suggest, and it gives time for people to research it a bit more if they're a bit hesitant.
Very well. Now, no motion has been moved, so we can simply leave it, and therefore staff can put it on the agenda for the next meeting. So that's solved that one.
Do you want a formal agenda?
I don't think so. Just ignore it. Yeah, that's okay. Okay. So appointment of council.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor.
Beg your pardon, Councillor Pryor.
Just a quick question about the Swara. Typically, what nights do they meet on?
Yeah. Councillor Crossland might know.
Nearly always a Monday, and I think it's the second Monday of the month. It's a fixed Monday.
Now, I'll move on. So on page 105, you've got the reference to the Adelaide Coastal Councils Network. Now, I've already reported to the previous council that this is an exciting opportunity because after a committee that met for 50 years and produced practically nothing, there has been a push from the Local Government Association, the LGA, and a number of councils to make this a real active committee, and it's being resourced accordingly with an executive officer. So it's potentially exciting. Now, needless to say, we only have one ward where we have any coast. So that could narrow it down, although other people might have a big interest in the coastal issues of Adelaide's beaches. I don't know. Anyone interested? Councillor Luscombe. Excellent. Well, one is enough if there are no others. I don't know, do they invite us to have a deputy? I'm just checking with governance, or
we can put a deputy on.
Yes. So perhaps we could have Councillor Luscombe as council's representative. Thank you for fixing that motion so that Councillor Crossland acts as council's. Sorry? Sorry.
I've got a question.
Question, yes.
It's probably in here, but how long is the term for this particular board?
Good question. We're racing to the paperwork because it is actually being set up as a new committee. Meetings, page 9 of the document. Shall meet on an as-needs basis. How about that? I'm just trying to think for the old one. It didn't meet all that often. It might have met a few times a year. Yeah, and we did it for the 4-year term. Well, okay, that's fine.
Right.
So just to clarify, we've looked at the documentation. The constitution, I suppose it is, says that there should be one staff member, one councillor from each of the member councils, of which Marion is one. The staff officer has been determined, Rebecca Newman. So if we have Councillor Luscombe and Ms. Newman, we can proceed. It doesn't say anything about deputies then. No. Perhaps we could just leave that, and if need be, I'm sure, you know, they wouldn't mind other people attending the meeting. But the other point is the duration, which we understand is a 4-year term. Councillor Luscombe, you happy with that? Very good. Then we have a motion that can be moved. There's no remuneration involved, so there's no conflict of interest issue with this one. Now, Councillor Masika, you wanted to move the motion?
Yes, Your Worship. I would like to move the motion as printed based on the 23rd of August 2022 Memorandum of Understanding, accommodated the 2 points, and I'm quite happy to move it.
Thank you very much. That's seconded by Councillor Pryor. Any further discussion? Then all those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So now we move forward to page 120. Great news that the state government, through the Bicycle Fund, the State Bike Fund as they call it, has helped us with funding for 2 projects, one in Glengowrie and one at O'Halloran Hill, so in the Southern Hills and Mullawirra wards as far as that's concerned. So we can probably dispatch this one fairly quickly. Councillor Telfer to move.
I move as per the recommendation. I look forward to these being done, and then I look forward to the Tonsley Greenway being done as well.
It's being worked on as we speak, I believe. So is that seconded? Councillor Valescu, thank you. Anything further? Then all those in favour? Sorry, Councillor Pryor.
I have a question.
Okay. I thought it was early voting, but
no,
you have a question.
I do
go ahead.
Vote early very often, but no.
Go ahead.
My question is, why would we do the portion from Glenthorne to South Road, which seems to go nowhere, when going from Glenthorne to the bike track or the BMX area would connect up with our path down the Southern Expressway?
The same thing did occur to me. I wondered if perhaps staff wanted to do half the project, and therefore if it was approved, we would have our arms twisted to supply further money and complete the project.
I'm sure Mr. Allen has a wonderful answer.
There's probably a better answer than that. Mr. Allen, please.
Thank you, through the chair. Good evening, members. The original intent was to have the shared use path along Majors Road between South Road and the expressway to link to our new facilities for the BMX and soccer. Our walking and cycling guidelines have identified a strategic link along Majors Road to Perry Bar Road. In addition, the City of Onkaparinga have also identified a link along Black Road heading back towards Aberfoyle Park and Happy Valley. The reason why we've only run the shared use path through to Glenthorne access, the Department for Infrastructure and Transport made contact with Council back in June to discuss the on-off ramps. As part of their proposal, they are considering funding the design and construction of the shared use path between Adams Road and the Glenthorne entrance.
So the next question would be, would it make sense before we proceed with design to see if that money is forthcoming rather than having two paths constructed, designed and constructed separately that are actually as part of the one path?
Through the chair, we are meeting regularly with DIT staff to discuss the alignment of the paths and ensure there is interface at the entrance to Glenthorne. There is no risk of duplication of what we're designing and what they're undertaking.
So you're assuring me that there's no additional cost by designing and constructing this path in two parts?
Through the chair, that's correct. We need to be mindful of the timing of the on-off ramps. So they're proposing to commence work late in 2023 and have construction completed by 2025.
All right. Anything arising out of that, Councillor Luscombe?
Thank you, Your Worship. I just had a question with regards to the length of the Majors Road path. In the background information that was provided to Council, it stated that it was approximately 100 metres. And then in the funding deed, it states that it's 1.2 kilometres. Can I have clarity on that, please? Thank you.
Thank you, through the chair. It is 800 metres between Main South Road and the entrance to Glenthorne National Park. The original intention, like I said, was to take it through the expressway, which is the 1.2. There is an administrative error in the documentation, I think, on pages 122 and 130. We'll have that corrected.
Well, can some appropriate wording be added to the printed recommendation so that we are not bound to sign the deed with the mistakes in it? Thank you, Councillor Luscombe, for that good question. While that's being done, Mr. Allen, how are things going with the Tonsley bikeway?
Thank you, through the chair. For the new elected members, Council resolved to undertake a concept design and consultation. That resolution was back in October 2021, and it included an allocation of $40,000 to develop the concept design. The concept design is in progress. We are disappointed with our consultant not having delivered that concept yet. We plan to go to consultation early in the calendar year. So we'll be in contact with both the mayor and the ward elected members.
For that. All right. We're happy with the proposal now on the screen, that clarification. So I had a mover and a seconder already. So now I'm just checking if there's any final discussion before putting it to a vote. Then all those in favour, please raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And we go over to page 136. It's not a usual thing to close and dispose of portions of public road, but you can see from the, it probably, when it does happen, it often is as a result of a housing development, I dare say. You can see from the map on page 140 that they are marginal pieces at the end of cul-de-sacs that are being created. So, Councillor Masika. Ahead, thanks.
Yeah, I said, look, I wouldn't mind it to move the motion, but this word has been repeated many times, market value, but I didn't see any dollar figure in the document to know how much money the council will gain by disposing of these two parcels of by closure of the road.
I'm always wary once we get into dollar figures of confidential provisions of the Local Government Act, but I'm advised, it is a very good question, and I'm advised that the intention is for sale at market value. Nobody's getting a discount either side, and it might be something like $400,000 as an estimate, not to be quoted.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to move the motion as printed.
Very well. Councillor Crossland has a question.
I'm not too sure about this development. Is this a development where they are knocking down houses and redeveloping the whole site? And if so, will there be a proportion of that land that comes back to us as open space? There'll be more reserve space?
I think it might be worth asking one of our officers to come forward in more detail, but this is the development involving the Housing Trust, or Housing SA as I understand it, where lots and lots of houses are being demolished, new ones being put up, some public housing, some private. And I think we had a contribution to Appleby Reserve adjacent to the Sturt Creek, but I defer to staff. Who do we have advising us? Ms. Lee?
Yeah, through the chair, the road closure portions that is in the report tonight is part of the wider Morfettville renewal project, and that is a separate matter through the planning assessment team. They have lodged their application for land division, and it's going through the assessment stage at this point in time. So in terms of what open space is being provided through the division is a separate matter.
Thank you. It's just that normally when they submit their land division, it usually does include open space provision, and usually it's easy to determine if we've been given 12% additional reserve space or whether they haven't, or whether they use their stormwater infrastructure as open space, which is what they've done before.
I thought there'd be somebody in the organisation who would be aware of that. But we might have to take it as a question on notice as to the open space contribution arising from the Morfettville Urban Renewal Project. Thank you. So at this stage, I have a motion moved. Is it seconded? Councillor Pryor, any further comment? No one speaking against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those, no, that is carried unanimously. Thank you. Very good. We move on to page 156. No, 142. What have I missed? Oh, yes. So this was a proposal where, sorry, I'm not sure that's in my agenda. There it is. It's only one pager. So the suggestion is that we simply note the report. I mean, there was a motion which wasn't dealt with, so it's lapsed. So therefore, that's why we're just left with something that's it's like a tree, a dead tree on the side of the road, and we're just going to note it and not do anything with it. Councillor Crossland?
Happy to note the report, Your Worship.
Thanks very much. Seconded Councillor Telfer. Any further comment? Then I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, the Local Government Association Ordinary Meeting Minutes. This was this one probably even less scintillating than usual. The LGA has adopted a mechanism whereby they somewhat filter the motions coming through from councils so they can amalgamate them, push them back, suggest modification, etc. So you don't get too much radical movement. That would be an understatement. However, your mayor did attend and take a keen interest. Other than that, you're welcome to look through the minutes. I'll just note for general interest as well that one of the peculiarities of the Local Government Association constitution is that they have their AGM just before council elections, so that almost every time they get their officers, president, etc., and someone or other from the incoming LGA board is then knocked off in the election something like 2 weeks later, and so they have a by-election. So it was something that I pointed out years ago when they were adopting the constitution, but it was somewhat rushed through, and so we live with it. And I just wanted to make you aware that if there's going to be a reform one day, that might be a good one. Now, having said that, Councillor Valescu.
Consolidate the power, and then if there's a by-election, still having the, I guess, enough people in that committee to elect people they feel they can work with, or is that just...
That is objectively an outcome of the current scenario. So it's a hypothesis. Well, would someone like to move? The motion is printed. Councillor Valescu. Seconded. Councillor Taylor, thank you. Any further discussion or questions? No. Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously. Thank you. So, I thought that was worth singling out again because some members are not familiar with that higher order level of decision making. But the Council and Chief Executive KPI report, the Work Health and Safety Monthly Report, they do come through regularly. They could be moved on block, but of course questions can then be asked on either matter. When we say we take something as a block, they're voted on together, but you can ask or speak on matters pertaining to either report. Someone like to move accordingly? So I noticed there's a clerical error that's been corrected and the correction appears on your screen. So the motion to be moved just has that clarification, but it would be fair to say it's not terribly substantial. Councillor Crossland moves that way.
Move as printed.
Councillor Telfer seconds. That's moving the two motions together. Any questions, Councillor Telfer?
I just had an interest, obviously, in the things that are marked red in the report, on the KPI report, and have an interest in how quickly they move towards getting into the grey.
I'll ask our Chief Executive, Tony Harrison, to report on those. Thank you.
Thank you. Through the Chair, on page 157 of the papers, KPI 2, delivered projects, three outstanding. The three outstanding are the development and finalisation presentation of the Compass document, which members went through on Saturday, which will be coming to Council soon for endorsement. So that's one of the three. The second one refers to the digital transformation project, which has 12 main project components of reform. A number of those, as stated within your papers, are behind schedule for implementation and commissioning. The good news is that the audit we've done in the last 2 weeks suggests that we will be on track to turn the switches on of those 12 lots of pieces of work by the 30th of June next year, 23, which is in accordance with the schedule. So they're slightly behind at the moment, but we are optimistic and confident that they will be delivered within the previous schedule of 30th of June next year. And the third project is the Coach House, which I understand is on schedule for advancing and completing in February 23. So behind in schedule, but will be delivered this financial year, which is the fourth year of the requirements for the delivery of these main projects. So a couple of them slightly behind, but all on track to be done before the 30th of June next year. If I like me to go through the other red, staff engagement. This is one for new members, which gets referred to on a number of occasions in relation to the meaning of participation and the meaning of engagement. The previous manager for People and Culture, Jess Lynch, who finished with the organisation recently, had tweaked some of the team gauge measurements. So we're starting off this financial year as of 1 July with a new set of measurements, which we hope are more informative to the council members. It so happens I must have had some wiring with the councillor in relation to this question, because I came prepared with a brief handout. One for the mayor too, please, if he hasn't. There's 13 of them there. So this is about a team gauge for those that may not be aware. I think Jane will be aware from certainly Education Human Services. It's called a pulse survey, and we conduct them on a monthly basis. They can be finished and finalised within around about 20 seconds or maybe a couple of minutes for those that would like to provide some comments. We electronically distribute the survey across the workforce. Bearing in mind, we have a workforce about 100 or so who are outdoors and operational, who are somewhat challenged by their ability to complete the document on time, the way that it is distributed. But really, it is a quick measure at a point in time to determine how our staff are feeling about up to 9 different aspects. They can be things such as well-being, as you'll see on the dashboard there. We generally perform well in the 80s, and so across these different dimensions. The actual report at the moment is showing that we haven't met target, a target of 75%. We've achieved 69% for the first quarter of this financial year, so July, August and September. It's an accumulation of scores, and they are for questions such as, would you refer the City of Marion as a place of employment to a colleague, and questions along those sorts of lines. So they give us some sense or indication of what we call engagement with the organisation. It can vary on a day-by-day basis as to how do people respond to these things. But generally, as you can see from the dashboards, we generally perform well in the 80% across these dimensions, and we're looking to continually improve. We did achieve, which is the benchmark, a 50% participation in each of our portfolio or division areas. We did achieve that on this occasion, but there's work that we need to do to make sure that we have an engaged workforce which are actively participating in the survey, and obviously we like to monitor the results. The whole purpose for TeamGauge is for team leaders to elicit information from their staff, hold group meetings and to complete a loop of feedback to staff and address some of the concerns or some of the positive things which arise through the pulse survey process. The last one, KPI 10, is one which the previous council had considered many times. It is about a measurement of utilisation of around about 9 of our physical assets, where the community can book rooms or venues for community activities. We would obviously like to see our facilities used to a high level of utilisation. We are on the back of COVID, and during COVID, many of our facilities weren't being used at all in some cases, obviously the last 2.5 years. And we're starting to see a slow emergence out of low utilisation to an improved. I think from memory, the previous quarter, we were down at about 28%, is what I recall. This one, we're into the 30s, a very small movement, but it's going in the right direction. We're advertising, we're marketing, you will see us on LinkedIn encouraging people to use the City of Marion facilities. We're doing all sorts of things to try and encourage utilisation of our main facilities. And we're also just recruiting a business analyst to look at implementing an online booking system, which will be coordinated and have interoperability between all of our user groups, the general community through a portal system, which will make it far easier to actually measure utilisation rates, as well as encourage ease of booking our facilities as well. The terms for that project have been completed. We're recruiting at the moment. And ambitiously, we would like to maybe bring something to the 21st of January elected member planning day to show the outline, a very brief outline as to what the online booking system is going to look like. And ambitiously, we're trying to make sure that it's also in place somewhere between March and June 2023, which will hopefully vastly improve the ability to book and use our facilities and also measure the utilisation. The current system we're reporting on is a manual system. We rely on virtually pen and paper to total up the figures about utilisation. We're hoping to automate that and bring it online as quick as we can. So that's just a brief sort of feedback on those three dimensions that we aren't hitting the KPIs.
Thank you. Councillor Crossland.
Just a question on notice. Obviously, I'm aware of some of the assets that aren't well utilised. Would it be possible just to circulate a list of what the assets which are used in this KPI and what they individually are achieving, please?
Yeah. Thank you. Shall we take that as a question on notice?
Yeah, we'll do that.
Councillor Pryor?
I've got another question on notice. The staff engagement KPI breaks up the organisation into different sections. Can I just get a weighting for those sections? Because arguably some of them are larger than others, just so I can complete that picture.
Mr. Harrison?
So through the chair, it's simply done on a establishment FTE number and a percentage completion of that number. So if there's 100 staff in a area such as the outdoor staff, 50% requires 50 of those FTEs to complete the pulse survey.
Then the overall, say it's 84% for role clarity or something, is that a figure taken across the entire population? It's not averaged among different groups? Or
that's right. So the gauges you have in front of you, the top left 81 is the totality of the score across those other dimensions. And then each of the scores, 84, 78, 83 across the top, are the global score for the whole of the City of Marion on a dimension-by-dimension basis.
Okay, so that chart aside, just in our notes, the chart has ELT at 83%, IT operations at 83%, and operations at 55%. But those are weighted. There's more people in operations than there is in digital transformation. So just a general guide as to how many respondents we have in each of those categories would be good.
Councillor, I'm just checking. The previous times we've had some confusion between participation and the subjective score. So the numbers you're talking about, Councillor Pryor, they relate to that subjective score, do they? Or the participation?
I actually like both, to be honest. I think It'd be, I mean, the participation rate's important, but
I think through the chair, if you're looking for the raw number, we can certainly get the raw number so we can turn the percentage back to a raw number representation for an area by area basis, yes.
Yeah, that'd be good. And just so I know, I mean, because obviously we have lots of people in operations, correct? And we don't have so many people in, let's say, the digital transformation team. So then we can, like, weight these numbers a little bit better in our heads.
That's right. The going back a year or two, there was a concern about the participation number, and that's why we put in the KPI measure to say that it should be at least 50% participation in each section. But as to that raw data, that will appear in the next agenda as answer to a question on notice. No problem. All right. We still need to deal with this item. So Councillor Vlescu, go ahead.
I just wanted to, and it could be provided out of session, just some more information about why people aren't attending using our facilities due to COVID, just because there might be some vulnerable communities that perhaps aren't getting out there, and if there's anything that we can do to facilitate their integration into the community in our facilities.
Mr. Harrison.
Certainly through the chair, we have really increased significantly our marketing of our facilities and advertising through multiple different platforms. We also run a community transport bus service. We collect people and groups to attend our facilities and utilise them. My sense is that things are improving quite quickly post-COVID, if I can even say post-COVID, because I think we're back into another wave of COVID at the moment. Whether that's going to alarm people to actually go out into larger groups and utilise our facilities, particularly older, more vulnerable people, which often do use our facilities. But I can assure all elected members, the marketing engagement team are using every mechanism we can think of to advertise and market our facilities. I just think that we are still somewhat suffering from COVID and a bit of the post-COVID, if we can even use that term, as I said. But we'll continue to endeavour to get people to use our facilities. We want the vibrancy, we want the people, we want the inclusion and the engagement, particularly of vulnerable people across our community. We see it as a great mechanism to use our facilities for new arrivals and migrants to our area. And we know we've got about 30% of new arrivals living in the city of Marion. So it's an important aspect for us to make sure that people feel confident to get out and use our facilities.
So it has been moved and seconded. If there are no more questions, I'll simply put that to the vote. All those in favour for those two motions, thanks. That's carried unanimously. So now we can go on to page 168, Marion Cultural Centre Plaza. One of the peculiarities of the standing orders is that somebody can draft the motion, but anyone in theory can move it. Mm-hmm. So in this case, there's a motion drafted, but we'll see if any of the ward councillors would like to move the motion. Councillor Taylor, yes, would you like to speak to it?
I'll move as written.
Yes, and this is also your opportunity to speak in favour if you wish.
I'm in favour of the two-way streets based on the feedback from the community and the sample survey of 60% of people living close to that particular road. 60% of residents have shown that it would be a negative impact if it went to a single way road. So basing my opinion on that.
Is the motion seconded? Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, I think we'll give this a run. Look, the important thing about this project is that the road comes up to grade. So we're having a big, flat, open surface. It's not as important to me whether it's a one-way road or a two-way road. I think there are other means to slow down traffic, and we should definitely have a look at this.
Very well. Speaking against, Councillor Crossland.
I'd like to suspend suspension of standing orders so that all members can probably ask staff a little bit more about the project. Unfortunately, there's no diagram, no background information, and none of the confidential information in this report. So I wondered if there was somebody on staff that could answer some of those questions without entering into confidential territory.
Well, there's a motion to suspend standing orders. Is that seconded, Councillor Bilescu? All those in favour of the suspension, put your hand up. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So, first of all, we'll go to that question. Do we have a staff member on hand? Tony, Mr. Lyons, General Manager. Are there any diagrams as such? I do have the report of 1st of February 22 with me, but that's not going to help everyone. Yeah, 1st of February 2022. We're just looking for a diagram. In the meantime, it might be worth just highlighting from that report the objectives. That was the committee. Oh, sorry, asset sustainability. Stated objectives of the improvement: enhanced amenity, community connections, flexibility of functional use, and sense of place. Now, do you want to kick off with questions, Councillor Crossland, or your view? But
no, I'll just for the questions at the moment, if I may, Your Worship. So I'd just like to know, from a staff point of view, where the project is at, how far into the project we are, just a comment on the number of residents in favour and basically what changing it at this late hour could do to the project.
Thank you, through the chair. The project's been worked on for 3 years. We did the concept design and the community consultation with the state government, with SALC, with Westfield, with the local stakeholders. And at the moment, we're at the 90% detailed design at the end of that whole process. It's due to go out to expression of interest for tender for construction next week. Obviously, we won't be doing that or making that plan until the outcome of tonight. So that's the first part of your question, Councillor. The second part with regard to the community feedback, and that's been attached in tonight's agenda. And the raw data was that there were 83 responses, of which 50 people said they either strongly or very strongly didn't support a one-way, and 33 said they would strongly or very strongly support a one-way. However, if you notice on the attached report on page 175, 21 of the 50 who supported a two-way were actually objecting to the blocking of the road into Westfield. And that's a given. That's going to happen. That's their prerogative. And you may or may not know that there's actually no road there. It's just a convenience. And Westfield can come along at any point and block that off. And they've already told us that that's their plan. And so we've been proactive over the last 3 years to work towards that. So that's where we are, Councillor. And while there were more opposed to the one-way, when you actually go into the data, there was actually a slight minority that actually specifically expressed concern about the one-way solution.
And just a couple of questions following on from that. Mr. Lyons, if the design is at something like 90% prepared, why couldn't it be added to this agenda so that we could see what the plan is?
It has got all of the approvals to go to tender, and I've just forwarded it to Ms. Moritz, and it's on the screen.
So at what stage was the design presented to councillors, whether it be 30%, 70% or whatever?
The design was approved back in April as the concept to go with the one-way solution and endorsement to pursue with detailed design.
Right. So the concept plans we've seen, but not the design along the way.
That's correct. The detailed design is entirely consistent with the concept. It's just that the detailed design gets it ready for construction and tendering.
And one other point, Mr. Lyons, you've put on the record that the closure by Westfield or its company between the Marion Cultural Centre and Bunnings is a given. Now, it is part of their planning application, which has been approved. But what document do you have to say that it is definitely going to happen? And I say that in against the background of several Westfield plans which haven't actually come to fruition.
That's a very good point. And the mayor knows that we don't have that document, but council has been working towards this end for the last 3 years. The Westfield Centre Group has expressed their intention. I'll probably say firm intention, but the mayor is correct. We haven't seen all of these eventuate to close that. I've already made the comment that there is no road there, and that can happen tomorrow if they wanted to. And so council has been working along those lines.
Councillor Crossland.
You mentioned that obviously there are more, well, there's actually no residents live in that area, but there are other major stakeholders. What is their view on the one-way road? Because it's not included in the consultation report.
So we consulted with the Department of Transport, Infrastructure and Transport about the general traffic management on Diagonal and Warrakowie. The early conversations included some lights, some vehicle lights and also pedestrian lights. The Department of Transport said no to vehicle lights, and our engineering experts had agreed with that. They did fully endorse our final design. Importantly, the stakeholders around there endorsed council staff's vision of really quietening this place down. I think we all know that council doesn't have a city centre. We don't have a town hall. We don't have a heart. This is as close as we're going to be. And certainly the vision of staff has been that slowing this down, reducing the traffic from some 350 per hour down to 50 per hour modelled at peak times, putting in a nice tree-lined avenue there with a raised road and really opening this up to some green play spaces will be a wonderful step in making this a true heart of Marion, and we've been very keen to pursue that.
Mr. Lyons, what I've suggested is that the objectives can be achieved without reducing it to a one-way road and going against the community consultation. So can it be a green space? Yes, it can, and I'm sure they're in the plans that we haven't seen. In terms of, 50 to 350, they are pretty small volumes compared to a lot of the intra-suburban roads we have. And surely the relevant thing for enjoyment of people sitting outside the Marion Cultural Centre is to have slow traffic, whether it's 50 or 350 per hour. If cars are going at 10 k's an hour, the amenity isn't disturbed. And as Councillor Pryor said, if there's a raised platform, that does seem to be an effective traffic treatment to calm traffic in other areas. So isn't that the case?
I'd probably comment on two areas there, Mayor. Strictly speaking, the community engagement did say the majority were against the one-way, but when you take out the road closure, it actually reverted to a minority being for the two-way. Urban design principles will suggest that the best way to achieve a great urban space is to bring down traffic speeds, to bring down traffic volumes, and to really open that space up as a welcoming outcome. I feel, and my staff feel, that a two-way would compromise that.
The other point about this, which is the strategic one, is the urban design issue. The tragedy is, well, maybe, that we don't have a civic heart We've got Westfield, which is a huge commercial centre. We've got the Aquatic Centre and Marion Cultural Centre off to one side. We've got the Bunnings and a massive car park in between. The fact is that where city square type developments have succeeded, they are naturally surrounded by high density uses like shops, restaurants, maybe apartment living, etc. But we don't have that here. It's going to be an attractive place for, I don't know what it would be, a few dozen workers in the office buildings between the MCC and Morfitt Road. But you're not going to get people from driving all over the city to sit on a bit of lawn there when we have all of, you know, attractive reserves all around the place. So I'm suggesting that it's actually illusory to talk about this becoming a civic heart. What do you say to that?
The mayor makes a very, very valid observation. And my comment would be, this is the best chance we've got to make it work. And if we don't seize this chance, it's not going to work. We know that Salk next door are really excited by it. We know that our staff in the library centre are excited. We know that we've got opportunities to extend the pancake kitchen and activate their usage of outdoor areas. And the plans on the screen for the detailed design will show that this will be a truly wonderful space with the room that we're permitted to use. So the mayor makes some valid points, but I still think that this is a really wonderful opportunity to do something special.
And it faces into a massive fence with the Aquatic Centre. We've been trying for years to get them to take that fence down and have some sort of use of their green space. They've got more green space at that end of the Aquatic Centre than we've got space outside the MCC. So that would be the real solution to the area in urban design terms, I would suggest. But, and that's why part of the motion is no doubt to continue that advocacy. I'll go Councillor Crossland, then Councillor Valescu, and we should get back to the debate, really.
And the other one that we've not mentioned is how much staff time and cost will there be to change that design at such a late stage? And in addition, what is the likelihood of losing the grant funding? Because I can see in the report you've been teasing it along for a long time. At what point do they just say, you know what, we're not giving you the money?
So there's two, I think, larger questions there. The first on the impact of the project. It might look on the plan like you can just draw another lane down the side. That sort of looks the way you could do it. The issue with that is that to do that, we would need to move all of the trees out to the edge of the new lane. And underneath that row of trees, where they would be, is three lots of services, gas, electricity, and water. Not too worried about the water and electricity, but the gas line would either not allow us to plant the trees or need to be relocated. And so I have intimated in the report, I have stated in the report that there will be significant delays in the potholing service pickup, redesign and potentially realignment of some of the services there. The second question, the grant money is that we do have $2.1 million of federal funding there. We have actually been talking with the federal government about that. To be strictly honest with you, we could reallocate that money with their blessing to other projects. So that will be fine. The only downsides of that is that we need to finish those other projects by the middle of next year. So we need to be very careful about the projects we select. And I guess the local MP, Ms. Louise Miller-Frost, is looking to cut a fancy ribbon and not some road resills. So we're just mindful of that, but we should be able to reallocate that money should we need to.
Well, I have to say I really object to saying that the alternative, if we keep a two-lane road, is just some road resills. We're talking about beautification in every other respect, including the trees and the plaza. I think it's a bit It was a cheap shot, I think.
That wasn't the intention. We could not allocate the money to this project at all. We could actually move it to other projects like our road resealing arrangement and some other projects.
Thank you. Understood. That's right. The services would stay where they are. That would be the point. So it would be more expensive to move the services. Maybe. Councillor Valescu.
Motion being selected to support various sides of the argument. My question is, my concern is that sometimes we get visions of the parade and all these lovely places which are great. And being on council, I remember in my second term, we spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on a competition. At one point, there was a $7.2 million development going to be out the front of the plaza. It ended up some planter boxes and a bit of beautification. So something's got to happen. But how is the one-way solution different to the usability of the area? Because you've got people going to Centrelink, our library, quite importantly, a medical centre and GP Plus. How does the...
Is this a question or have we gone back into debate?
I will tell you, Councillor, that is not a helpful point of order. You know that, in fact, you moved suspension of standing orders, so we're having a broad-ranging discussion. And I'll allow Councillor Valescu to finish his comments.
My question was, what's a better option for the actual users and the accessibility of the services that are in the area, including Service SA?
Mr. Lyons.
You've heard my thoughts, Councillor. On the right-hand side of Warrakowie on the screen, there's about a 5-metre-wide pedestrian access there that will facilitate pedestrian connectivity between the railway station, between Diagonal Road, through this area and onwards. If we were to reduce that 5-metre-wide area by 3 metres of a road, we're then getting back to a normal footpath, which reduces what could be a real feature of that space. I think you want to qualify your question.
I was talking about people driving to the doctor, people driving to services, say, those sort of things. So, you know, people do actually drive there and access those services. So that's what I was asking.
Yeah, about. And certainly that will be facilitated. So the entry off Morfitt will be two-way and people can come in off Morfitt and go around the roundabout and exit under the current design or keep on going straight through. At the moment, the majority of traffic along Warrakowie end up heading into Westfield and that's going to be blocked off, we believe, under Centre Group's intentions.
Councillor Telfer.
Given that there's a group of people out there that have their lens on the heritage aspects of this plaza and its area, I just want to throw in the mix that I've been approached by people to consider the future museum annexed to the Marion Cultural Centre in some way. So I just want to out there so that it's known that there are a group of people thinking about this.
Mr. Lyons, would there be scope on either plan, do you think, to have an annex, a museum annex?
It's new information to me, Mayor. I don't think it can be readily achieved, but we could look at that if Council desired.
Okay, now back to Councillor Taylor.
Mr. Lyons, in terms of if that potential road was closed, Westfield decided to close the road to Westfield, can residents still get into Bunnings from the back way there or would that be entirely closed?
I think that's what Mr. Lyons is saying, that the Diagonal Road entry to Bunnings would not be there through past the Marion Cultural Centre.
Yes, so to go into Bunnings in the future when that's closed off, you would have to enter off Morfitt Road or come up from the south through the Westfield shops.
Had another question there, Councillor Luscombe.
Thank you. I would just like to ask, has there been any modelling done on the impact to traffic going around from Diagonal Road to Moorfoot Road? And if so, are you able to talk about the possible anticipated impact to traffic in that intersection?
We did do a fair bit of modelling. I'm not an expert on that, sorry, Councillor. We did model, as I've already mentioned, the peak traffic through Warrakowie, and that will go from a predicted 345 down to about 50 during peak hours per hour, which is a reduction there. The feedback we got from the community engagement were generally from locals, and we sort of read through that. While a number of them were concerned about getting into Westfield, the others were concerned about cutting through. So I can't quantify that tonight, but there will be people that want to get through there. And that's the challenge we have. Do we facilitate that or not?
And I'll just throw in there as well, in the consultation, which, and the full report is there, there are numerous people who mentioned that they use it to get through to Bunnings, etc. But I don't think it follows necessarily that that's the reason that they want it to remain a two-way road, or the only reason. Anyway, Councillor Valesco was next.
Obviously, the SA, the pool group there have indicated a preference. Why haven't they provided us with a land, or, you know, how come that stalled? Because that was something that was talked about even before you were in the chair, Your Worship.
Many years.
I last met with Mr. Adam Trotman, who's the Director of Infrastructure and Planning in the Office of Rec and Sport, about 2 weeks ago, and posed that to him. They don't know. They haven't got firm plans. They've got an idea about what they want to do with that space. They can't commit to anything, and they can't let anything out of confidence at this stage. So that's the long and the short of it. They don't know at this point. They are very much aware of our desire to have that space and to open it up.
All right. I think we better resume the debate and bring this to fruition. So we've had a mover and seconder. There's an opportunity for any councillor to speak against the motion. Councillor Crossland.
I'll speak against the motion. I think environmentally, we've succeeded in adding more trees and green space, which the previous council was quite keen on. I think the fact that you can reduce or half the number of vehicles, or less than half, going through that space reduces pollution and makes it a much more usable area. We've got a chance here with the Pancake Kitchen to really activate this area once and for all, noting previous comments that everything we've tried before has failed, because we've just really done, in my view, half measures. Staff have worked hard on this for 3 years. They're excited by what they're going to achieve. I think at this late hour, with all the additional cost and extra issues, I think we'll be losing a great opportunity, which was thrashed out throughout the Asset and Infrastructure Committee and was supported in its current format both by the committee and General Counsel.
Now, the standing orders provide that where someone has spoken against and someone else may speak for. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak in favour of the motion? Councillor Telfer.
I'll support the motion because the people that live in Oaklands Park and need to access, they want to be able to turn right into Warrakowie Way. If it was a one way in that direction, I would be more comfortable with the one way. But given the design of the one way in the opposite direction, I support this two way.
That gives the opportunity for anyone else who wishes to speak against. If there are no other speakers, then it's back to Councillor Taylor to make a final comment in reply. Thank you. Any matters that have been raised in the debate or during the suspension of standing orders to which you think there should be a reply, if you wish.
I have no reply. Thank you.
That's fine. Then we proceed to a vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against, please raise your hand. Then the motion is carried. Thank you. So now what we can do is go back to the one pair of remaining items. They are confidential matters relating to the Review and Selection Committee. I beg your pardon, there's a question on notice. All we do is note that. So the public and councillors can read that. Sometimes I'll ask for any questions arising, but I thought it was fairly straightforward. So let us return to page 29, and there are what we call cover reports for each of the blue pages in our agenda. So on pages 29 and 30, the white pages, they provide potential reasons for going into confidence. Now, in this particular case, the reasons are the same in both cases. One is a decision about appointment of an expert member to the Finance, Risk and Audit Committee. And the second document are the minutes, which effectively reflect the recommendation of the committee. So they're really both about the same thing. And the reason for it being in confidence is that it essentially relates to the affairs of that person. So if it was public and then council decided had a debate about that person's suitability, that wouldn't be an appropriate thing to have out in the public domain if people are speaking for and against an appointment. That's why we go into confidence with a situation like that customarily. So what I'll do, and I'm explaining that more than I normally would, but just to make clear about the reasons why we go into confidentiality. So on pages 29 and 30, they are the motions to go into confidence for those two matters. And I invite someone, if they wish, to move that. Councillor Masika, you're moving that way. And is that seconded? Councillor Pryor. So now this is not a vote on the substance of it, but just whether we go into confidence for those reasons which I've stated. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. So we now, or shortly, will close the doors of the meeting, and the motion that's just been passed lists certain of the staff who are allowed to stay in the room, and we say good night. Thank you to members of the public who observed. I hope that you found it interesting. And once we've had it confirmed that we have the right people in the room, then the door can be closed. And a really good note for all members and myself, once we go into confidence, none of us use a microphone.